Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Alinor Investors Group Investor Conference Call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Glenn Willis, CEO. Please go ahead, Mr. Willis.
Thank you very much, and I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our 2016 results presentation. With me on the call, I have my colleagues, Marianne Ossovani, who's our Chief Investment Officer, Paul Siviour, who's our Chief Operating Officer, and Simon Simmonds, who's our Chief Financial Officer. Before I commence, if I may, I'd just like to, for those of you who aren't so familiar with our business, give you a very broad overview of our strategy and our mission. Alinor Investors Group is an ASX-listed investment management business, and we have our overarching business objective is to grow our investments under management. The ASX-listed platform that we have is a key enabler to that. Our ASX-listed platform enables us to hold assets with a view of externalising or seeding assets into external managed funds, and it gives us the ability to co-invest alongside our capital partners, which is very important to us. The principle of alignment with our co-investors and capital partners is very important to us. I'm going today to just briefly go through our results presentation pack, and we'll have the opportunity for a question and answer at the end. I guess in summarising the year, and more specifically the last half, I'd describe it as a pleasing result, with core earnings being up 23.7%, and very importantly, distributions per security being up over 23% is pleasing to us. Particularly pleasing to us is the contribution from our funds management business to the result. Our funds under management increased by over 40% over the year, and the revenues and EBITDA from that business has been a key contributor to the financial performance. As I mentioned, the key business objective for Alinor Investors Group is to grow our investments under management. I'll flick through the presentation. In terms of looking at page four, over the course of the period, specifically in regard to funds management, we established the Alinor Retail Property Fund, which was formed or evolved from the Manning Mall Syndicate, which was a managed shopping centre asset of Alinor, and with the acquisition of Glenorchy Plaza, that enabled us to establish that multi-asset shopping centre fund. The other multi-asset fund that we formed established over the period was the Alinor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund, and that comprises six accommodation assets, six hotels, with a gross asset value of $93.5 million. And also pleasing about the establishment of that fund was it was the first fund that was seeded by two balance sheet assets of the group, and that was supported our view that having the listed platform to hold assets to in turn externalise those assets is well and truly in keeping with our strategy. High level gearing over the period decreased from 18.3% to 7.5%. We're very focused on having for Alinor a lowly geared entity. Our belief is that these kinds of businesses do very well if they're financially fit, particularly they do particularly well in times when financial fitness is imperative. And so it would be it's a core, I guess, tenet of our business to maintain a very lowly geared entity. Obviously, the funds will be geared being a function of the specific assets in the, in those external funds. But at the group level, our intention is for the vehicle to be lowly geared. If we go to page six. That's just a broad description of our total shareholder return. But page seven, as I mentioned, growing funds under management is our key business objective, and it's pleasing that we've achieved a 40% increase in funds under management. We we're a very modest size business, I guess in the scheme of things. External funds under management is approaching $500 million. Whilst we're a modest sized business, we have substantial growth ambitions, and believe with our listed platform, and more particularly with the capabilities and the efforts of the team, that we can grow our funds under management significantly over the medium to long term. But in the last year, the growth in funds under management has been pleasing, and it I guess on track to achieving our ambition to grow a significantly sized funds management business. If we go to page nine, this describes or portrays our business. We've used this from the time we listed the business, and we believe this is a good way for folk to understand our business, and indeed it's how we look at our business. I might just take the opportunity to briefly talk about our investment approach and investment style. Eleanor Investors Group is and the team is very much focused on originating and investing in and asset managing investments that have very strong and sustainable cash flows. We're focused on cash flow investments that can sustain the cycle, cash flow investments that have low betas, so to speak, and cash flow investments and investments that have strong cash flows, but also coupled with the ability to deliver significant value add. So whilst we're acutely focused on as an IRR investor, like most, we are particularly focused on the cash now part of the IRR equation, so to speak. In other words, we're very much focused on investing in cash generating assets, and that leads us into the sectors in which we focus. Obviously, we focus in the real estate asset class more generally. We have a strong focus in hotels, tourism, and leisure. We think about those businesses quite differently to real estate. They have a strong part of those businesses have operating complexities and opportunities, and we have a strong capability in that space, and we indeed are able to identify and originate and manage assets in that sector that deliver on the investment ambitions that we have. The other key tenet to our investment approach is to invest in businesses that have strong hard asset, or more specifically real asset backing. So all of our investments are strongly real estate backed. As a mantra, we don't get caught up on location or how an asset looks or what an asset does, say for ethical considerations. It's all about, for us, the cash generating capacity of that investment, the sustainability of those of that cash generation, and the ability to drive value add as well. Bearing in mind my comment about the need for our investments to be real estate asset backed. So looking at page nine, on the right hand side is a list of our balance sheet investments. Both the specific investments that are on balance sheet and the co-investments in our external funds. Over the course of the year, this time last year, as I mentioned earlier, we had Crota Mountain Lodge and Wollongong Hotel were in the balance sheet investments, and those two investments have seeded the Eleanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund. which is now on the on the left-hand side of the of that chart. The left-hand side being our funds under management, both our multi-asset funds and our and our syndicates. So again, the left-hand side of that page is very much the focus of the business, growing investments under management and having balance sheet investments to externalise or to seed external funds is a key ambition of the group. So just turning over to I'll skip to page 10 is again a couple of charts that tables our both balance sheet investments and managed funds. We skip to pages 12 and 13, which is a detailed breakdown of our financial results. What I might do is hand it over to Paul Sivia to take us through the detail to explain how our accounts have been formed, and this year it's a little more complicated by virtue of the consolidation of the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund, which, as we as I mentioned, we established in March this year. Paul.
Thanks, Glenn. Yes, the statutory financial results are a little more complex this year, and that's a direct result of the fact that the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund has been consolidated into those statutory results. What we've sought to do on page 12 is to provide a more meaningful look through on a segment basis of the performance of the business that restates the impact of the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund to be on an equity accounted basis rather than a consolidated basis. And that's consistent with the way all of our other co-investments are treated. It's how we look at managing the business, and it's also consistent with prior year. The reason from a statutory point of view that the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund was consolidated is because for now we own 41.7% of that fund and we're also the manager, and on that basis we're deemed to have control. So on that look through, when we think about the impact of that fund on an equity accounted basis, the differences really boil down to two. One is that the funds management segment result on the top of page 12 of 7.9 million includes, rightly, the contribution in funds management fees of Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund, which were eliminated on consolidation in the stat result. That's the first change. And the second change is the segment result for hotels, tourism and leisure, shown at 6.8 million, includes the equity accounted impact of the fund. That impact is negative $2 million. The equity accounted impact is negative $2 million. And that arises directly as a result of that fund fair valuing the six hotels that were acquired at its at inception in March. And as a result of that accounting treatment, there is a write-off of transaction and establishment costs so that the properties are held at fair value. So the other thing I just point out in respect of that segment result for hotels, tourism and leisure is it's really in two components. One is the result from our wholly owned investments, which was an EBITDA contribution of $8.5 million. And then secondly, an EBITDA loss of $1.7 million on equity accounting of all of our hotel co-investments, that $1.7 million. So they're the two impacts, and we think that look-through really does provide a much clearer picture of our performance by segment. Turning then just briefly to the balance sheet, this balance sheet also has been adjusted so that Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund is shown on an equity accounted basis and not a consolidated basis. We think that's very important. In the statutory results, the full $99 million of total assets and net assets of $47 million are consolidated, as is the debt that sits within Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund. And so, important to point out on the balance sheet that our interest-bearing liabilities at 30 June are $14.8 million and our net debt is $8.8 million, and that results in a gearing of 7.5%. So it's these segment results that the balance of the presentation then talks about in detail. And Glenn, perhaps I'll pass back to you.
Thank you, Paul. Yes, and the and obviously the consolidation of the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund as a function of Elanor, the group owning at this stage 40% of that fund. And I'm pleased to say that in its first period since being formed in March has performed above expectations. It's Marianne and her team have done a very good job in integrating the new assets into that fund. Just turning to page four, we've got a slide there on property valuations. As I mentioned before, the Pepples Cradle Mountain Lodge and Mantra Wollongong Hotel assets aren't on balance sheet at 30 June 2016, as they ceded the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund, and other assets there are not a great change in valuation. So happy to talk to the that slide later if there are any questions. Page 16, again on funds management, once again, a key business objective. Pleasing result with EBITDA growth of nearly 77%, and being a key contributor to driving the performance of the results for the half and for the year. In terms of new funds management initiatives, on page 17, we announced in July that as part of our capital raising at the time that we had the intention of establishing the Elanor Commercial Property Fund, and as it mentions there, we are currently in DD on three assets to establish that fund, and we're also we also plan to list a new retail REIT, the Elanor Retail Property Fund, and we're well advanced on assets for that fund as well. So essentially, that describes, I guess, a significant part of our pipeline, if you like. And both those funds are to be established. The team is working on executing on that. And we plan to achieve the formation of those funds over the period. So going over to page 18, hotels, tourism and leisure. As I mentioned to you before, this is a key sector focus for us. We have a very strong capability in that area. And we have a very, more importantly, a very strong team that asset manages our hotel assets. The key, I'll take this opportunity to mention another key, investment tenant for the group. We are very strong believers in asset management being a critical part of delivering investment performance. Obviously, it's important to do acquisitions correctly and prudently and well. And it's obviously important to finance assets correctly and important to obviously ultimately divest assets when prudent as well. But our view is that asset management is paramount in delivering performance, and it particularly is relevant for us as a business because we do have a strong focus on assets that have operating, as I said before, complexities and opportunities, and you need a very talented and dedicated team to drive performance at the asset management level, and that's been our we've been successful on the asset management side to date. There's always opportunities to improve and get better and deliver better asset management performance. But I guess I'd like to say that we have a genuine culture of being passionate about performance, and that passion performance at the asset management level by a dedicated team is what enables us to deliver the investment results to our co-investors and capital partners, which ultimately will deliver the ongoing growth in returns for Elanor, the group. And just going back to the hotel service and leisure table, the EBITDA, the portfolio performed ahead of budget for the year, and that EBITDA of $8.5 million for the period also reflects the divestment of Cradle Mountain and Mansion Wollongong assets in March this year. On the co-investments page, in page 19, distributions increased substantially, which is a function of the group's investment in the Elanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund. Going over the page to real estate, this is quite a modest number per se at present. That'll become a significantly more important contributor going forward as we establish the Elanor Commercial Property Fund and the Elanor Retail Property Fund, the listed REIT that we're in progress on, and obviously the co-investments in those two funds will mean that the contribution from that area will increase, we expect, from this half. On the special situations investments, I mean, special situations really is a descriptor of our segment, which for our investments that don't get caught up in our, don't fit in our other divisions. And at present, our special situation investments comprise the John Coutts Furniture Business and the Marylands Property, which currently houses the main showroom of that business. It's been we've kept the market, I guess, well appraised of the John Coutts Furniture Business. It's been complicated by the fire in the business's main warehouse in Eunora in July 2015, and there's been obviously it's required a great deal of effort, one in recovering the business from that fire. That fire had a major impact on the operating operations of the business. But even more importantly to me, there was no damage, no one was harmed in that fire. So that's a very key positive from that business tragedy, so to speak. Having said that, the team, Paul and the team, done a very good job in the insurance process that followed the fire. But overall, the business has recovered well, and over the course of the year, the number of stores has grown from 6 to 9 stores. So we're very positive about the operating business. We're very positive. We are positive about concluding the insurance claims. The Eunora property was owned by the John Coutts Diversified Property Syndicate. That syndicate has had full recovery of the insurance, and that's worked satisfactorily for the investors in that syndicate. And to date, progress claims of $2.3 million have also received for interruption to the business. That claims process is ongoing, and I mean, all we can say is that that's. But that just that requires a strong effort to make sure one gets a good outcome from our insurance policies, and the outcome thus far has been satisfactory, and we intend to have that concluded also in a satisfactory manner. In terms of the Maryland's property on page 22, this is a key asset for the business. It's taken a lot of time and effort to have that asset rezoned. When we acquired the John Coutts furniture business, the Maryland's property was a very important part of that acquisition, and the value prospects for that property led us to substantially focus on that acquisition, and for what we believe was going to be a very good value accretion opportunity. Over the last 2 years, we've gone through a rezoning process, and in June 2016, the Department of Planning and Environment issued its gateway determination, and we now have a site with an FSA, a floor to space ratio of 2, and a rezone to B4 mixed use. That confirmation of the gateway determination by the Department of Planning and Environment has enabled us to now have that asset in market, so to speak, and we've appointed both CBRE and Savills jointly to market that property. Suffice to say, it would have been good if we'd had that determination a year ago, but that wasn't within our control, given that the gateway determinations are handed down at the on the timeline of the department. So, but that is in we are in the sales process now. That sales process will finish in mid-September, so we believe we'll be in a position to know the outcome of the value of that part of our investment portfolio by later in September. If we turn now to page 24, our strategy and outlook. Again, we say that we believe we're well positioned to grow earnings and value for our security holders. It's been a pleasing result for the last 6 months and for the last year. Indeed, it's been, I guess, pleasing since we listed in July 2014. I'm pleased with the growth in our funds management business and the contribution from our funds management business. As I mentioned earlier, that is the overarching ambition of the group, and whilst we're still a very modest size investment management business, as I said, we've got robust growth ambitions, and believe that with our platform, and particularly with our capabilities within the team, we can grow the business over the medium to long term. I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank the team. We do have a very strong team. We have a very dedicated team, and a team that I believe well and truly understands and lives that passion for performance notion and culture that I spoke about before. And it's not just the team at the corporate level at Elanor, but each and every one of our people in our investments and in our businesses, in our operating businesses. The performance to date obviously would not have been achieved without the efforts of Elanor's team across the group. So finally, based on our pipeline and most importantly, based on the efforts and capabilities of our team, we believe that we can achieve continued growth in core earnings over FY 2017. So I might turn it over to our operator now, and we'd be happy to field questions as required.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Edward Day of Moelis & Company. Please go ahead.
Hi, team. Congratulations on the strong results. Just a couple of questions from me this morning. Firstly, could you just talk about Eagle Hawk, the asset there, given that's one of the larger ones on balance sheet, and whether it's, at some point it makes sense to add this into the hospitality and accommodation fund?
Yeah, thanks, Ed. For sure, both Eagle Hawk and the Ibis style Albany Hotel are two hotel assets that are on balance sheet. Those two assets could well form part of the Eleanor Hospitality and Accommodation Fund in due course. As I mentioned earlier, the strategic aim of having one, the ability to hold assets on balance sheet, and indeed holding assets on balance sheet is to in due course externalize those assets or have those assets be in the right shape and form to form part of either a single asset syndicate or a multi-asset fund in due course. Our expectation at this stage is for both of those assets on balance sheet to when the operating performance is correct and they're in a state to be appropriate for most likely the Eleanor Accommodation Fund, they will be they will in due course at fair value be independent value be sold to that fund.
Is the performance at the Eagle Hawk asset? Because that was undergoing a bit of a turnaround strategy, is that starting to improve?
It is improving. It's improving markedly from last year. Having said that, it's not at the operating performance level that we need it to be at to qualify for inclusion in most likely the accommodation fund.
Right. Thank you. I
might just hand over to Marianne on that.
Yes, so we're pleased with the performance to date, and certainly it's tracking well and exceeding budget. So, given that that continues, we expect that we'll be in a position to move that across to the fund in due course, as Glenn mentioned.
Great, thank you. And just at the unallocated corporate cost level, I think it was about 6.4 mil. Is this now at a level that is sort of normalised going forward, or is the business, do you need to continue sort of adding overhead to, for the expansion into the new funds?
I'm guessing that's a scale efficiency question, Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, we... We're positive about our ability to achieve scale efficiencies as we grow. Having said that, we, as an investment manager, and to deliver the returns that we have done, and what we will strive to continue doing, requires a strong capability and a strong investment in asset management. We do expect it to continue to get scale efficiencies as we grow. That's kind of, we were acutely aware of a whole lot of things. We're acutely aware of earnings per share accretion, and we're acutely aware of of scale efficiencies, and we expect to be able to achieve those going forward. Did you want to add to that, Paul?
I think just to say that number reflects the investment we've made in the business during the year that's continued to contribute to the growth in the business, but as Glenn mentioned, and very specifically to the management of the assets, which is very critical to us in the context of being able to deliver results. So we are investing in the business. I think we will continue to invest in the business, but equally, we see scale opportunities as we grow.
Okay, great, thanks. And just one last one on the launch of the new retail REIT. I'm just wondering if you can give an idea of the assets that you may seed that with. And I know there's also some press this morning that you're looking at Tweed Heads or Tweed Mall, and whether you can comment on that at all.
Yeah, I would like to give you some information, but unfortunately I can't. The press this morning speculated on us acquiring that Tweed asset. It would be premature of us to confirm that. But what we are pleased with the assets that we believe will form the Elanor Retail Property Fund, the listed REIT. But it's just a bit too soon to confirm what those assets will be.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ed.
Once again, if you do have a question, simply press star, then one on your phone. The next question comes from Titus Hui, who is a private investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Thanks for the results. Just had a question in relation to the Featherdale Park. I believe there are plans at the moment for another park to be built in the area. I'm just seeing if management obviously has plans to deal with that going forward, whether it's to, although I read some articles about some of the wildlife being moved onto the other park, or whether it's if the plan is to continue the business as is. Thanks very much.
Thank you for the question. No, we consider the Featherdale Wildlife Park investment within the Elanor Group as being very important. It's got a fantastic team that does a wonderful job and delivers a very good performance for the group. It also does a wonderful job and has done. We've owned it for about 3 years, but that business and that wildlife park has been in operation for around 40 years. So it's a very important Western Sydney tourism asset. It employs over 100 people. It does a lot of conservation, and it does a lot of animal welfare. Provides a lot of services in that regard, provides a lot of educational services, so it's a very important business and contributor to the to New South Wales and a very important contributor to society more generally. So there is plans afoot, as we've mentioned. There's a new zoo that's proposed close to Featherdale Wildlife Park. That new zoo substantially is an exotic animal zoo, which is very different to our zoo, which is a native animal zoo. Having said that, the new zoo has plans to have a component of their offering focused on native animals as well. We are protesting, objecting very actively against the new zoo on a whole lot of fronts, and we will continue to do so through the objection process and the development approval process, which is now being considered by the Department of Planning and Environment. Having said that, we're very determined to maintain and build Featherdale. There's a lot of strategic opportunities to do so, but at the moment, we are the new zoo, the location of the new zoo, the way it's gone about, the way the process has evolved from the awarding of the land to the proponent. We're very angry about, and we're objecting fiercely.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question, simply press star then one on your phone. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand the call back over to Mr. Willis for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you to each and every one of you for joining on this results presentation call. As I mentioned, we're pleased about the results for the half and for the year. Again, whilst we're an investment business of modest size, we have strong growth ambitions, and with the continued great efforts of a very capable team, we believe, as I said, over the medium to longer term, we'll be able to grow the business and certainly have a 2017 grow our core earnings. So, thank you again. Thank you to my team, particularly, and have a good day.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.